one of my goals in life is to please God. When I all said and done, whether by the rapture or by the grave, whatever way I go, I want to make sure that God looks at me and says, "Well done, good and faithful servant." That to me is the greatest reward that you could possibly have. This life is wonderful, and you can live a good and godly life here. But when it's all said and done, everything that you have worked for, everything you have strived for in this life will be left behind. Amen? What you take with you is what you have done for God, God. And there's where your rewards will come out of that fire. When you throw that thing into the fire, your life is revealed. It'll be all about you. And many of the things that we do in life, we do based on our desires. Amen? We do. We live our lives based on the way we want to live our life. And we ask God to be part of that when it feels that we need him to be part of that. Otherwise, we just allow it to flow and ebb as everything goes. I did a message a long time ago, and I keep reminding myself of it, is that our lives are not like a pinball machine where some unseen hand grabs a hold of this big plunger and we're the little ball sitting inside the pinball machine, and the ball goes up and bounces off here and there, and sometimes we get big numbers, sometimes we get little numbers, and sometimes we end up in the hole too soon. And sometimes that's the way we act, as if our lives are out of control and we don't know what to do to get it back into alignment, and we struggle and fight and we try our best, but it just seems every time we step forward we take two steps backwards. That never was God's intent for the nation of Israel or for his children who are born by faith into the kingdom of God and in being engrafted into the vine, or being part and brought part into God's blessings that came through Abraham. God has a plan for your life. It's a good plan. It's a plan for you, not just once in a while, but every day of your life. We learn to live by faith. We learn to put our faith and confidence in God and his word, not in our emotions, feelings, thoughts, cares, worries, all the things that surround us, all the things going on inside of us. And we live a whole life that way. We wake up in the morning afraid of what today's going to bring, or afraid that we're not going to be able to make it, or we're afraid that something bad's going to happen to us or to one of our loved ones and all this. And God, it wasn't God's way. It still isn't God's way. God wants us to live by faith and put our trust that when you wake up in the morning, you can rejoice because it's a day the Lord has made, and you can be glad in it. Every day, not just some days. No, it's Monday morning. Oh, I got to go to work again. No. It's Monday morning. God, it's about to do something great in my life and through my life. And that's where you want to be. You can't ignore that stuff. Now, here, Jeremiah, let's go there. Go with me into Jeremiah. You know this scripture by heart, most of us. But let's look at it again and let's establish it, okay? Hallelujah. In Jeremiah chapter 29, you know this scripture. Could you adjust this? I'm getting too much feedback again. Jeremiah 29, verse 11. God is speaking to the nation of Israel who is coming out of captivity. How many of you know that once you got born again, you came out of captivity? Jesus said, "I came to set the captives free." We were being held captive by an enemy of our souls, of our spirit, of our bodies, and that was Satan. Now, we don't talk a lot about him. People say, "I'm not going to give him the glory," but he is a powerful entity still at work today. Some of the things that happen in our lives are directly responsible by this entity that is constantly attacking you. He said he came to steal, kill, destroy. One of the main targets of Satan is to destroy your walk of faith. You understand that? If he can get you out of faith, he's got you. The one thing that keeps him at bay is faith in who you are and who Christ is in you. Amen? That is the hedge of protection we have about us. is the Christ in us, the hope of glory. He said, I will be with you and in you. And Jesus is with us. Emmanuel, that song, Jesus with us. Jesus with us in the flesh. While we walk on this earth, while we're living in this earth, Jesus is with us. You understand? And it's sad when we forget about him and all we can think about is me. I'm still getting a lot of feedback. Amen? So we want to find out what God has, his plan. Now listen, he said in Jeremiah 29:11, he says, I know the thoughts. The word thoughts in another translation is plans. If you look it up in the Strong's Concordance, you'll find that it says plans. God knows the plans he has for you. How many of you know that God had ordained your life for the foundation of this world? Do you understand? He already saw you saved before even your mother and father walked this earth. Amen? He saw you as his child before the foundation of this world. In that, he established plans for your life. He didn't just say, I see them saved, and now they got to sit there and stand there, and they got to just go through what they got to go through. They got to this and that. Now I'm going to show you. There's purposes and reasons why we go through what we go through. If we're following God's plan, does not mean that you're free from all the works of the enemy and all the attacks in this physical realm. It doesn't mean you're free from it, but it does mean this, that you'll be victorious through it. Sometimes God takes us out of it. Sometimes he takes us through it. We don't know because God doesn't reveal all his plans to us. When Paul was walking and persecuting the church, God had already set up and he had plans for Paul. He knew that Paul would persecute the church. He could have killed him before he even came out of the womb, but he didn't. He had purpose for everything. Paul came and he said, listen, very, very unusual work of God here. God revealed his plan to Paul before Paul stepped into it. And he said, now, will you still follow me? Because it said that Jesus said to Ananias, go lay hands on Paul because I want to show him all the things he's going to have to suffer for me. He wanted him to know, if you follow me, Paul, and do what I ask you to do and follow my plan for your life, you're going to go through a whole lot of junk you're not going to want to go through. But know this, I will be with you through it all. I will keep you in the midst of it. I'll watch over you. It doesn't mean I'll take you out of things. But he said, I'll make sure that you, when you come out of it, you come out of it better than you went into it. And that's what happened with Paul. Now look, he's got plans for your life. You can ignore them. You can pretend they don't exist. But they're real. Amen? Let me finish reading this one. I'm going to take you to something and show you in a minute. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord. Listen to this. Thoughts of peace, not of evil. God is not going to take you into evil just for the sake of giving you into evil. There's purpose for everything. Amen? There's purpose for everything. With Job, there was purpose for Job. Going through what he went through. Listen, to give you a future and a hope. Amen? Praise God. Praise God. God has plans for your life, and they're good plans. They're good plans. In other words, I believe, and personally, I'm not going to die before it's time. Until I finish what God has given me to fulfill, because another part, another word of that where it says plans and thoughts is purpose. I believe that I will fulfill my purpose on earth before I go home. Does that mean everything goes the way I want it to go? Glory to God. If it was, then this place would be filled. It's not always going to go the way I want it to go. I was talking to Mark this morning before service, and we were talking about sometimes God's plans go contrary to our will. That's a hard thing. Do you know that when Noah built the ark, he worked on it for 120 years? You know that? 120 years. All that time, he preached the gospel to the people. You know how many converts he had in 120 years? Zero. But he was faithful in doing what God called him to do. He marched. Listen, he did this. He built that ark. He didn't. He never saw rain before. He couldn't understand what rain is. Flood the earth? He was out in the desert, for crying out. How are you going to flood the earth? He wasn't even near water. But he did what God told him to do. It was God's plan, not Noah's. Hallelujah. Glory to God. In Proverbs 14:12, it says this: there is a way that seems right to man, but its end is the way of death. So God is contrasting the two. He said, I got a plan for your life, and now you got a plan for your life. Which one will you follow? Yeah, but Lord, it looks better if I do that. No. As we're worshiping there, God started bringing to my remembrance something. And he said, do you remember Paul in the ship? Amen? Remember Paul in the ship? He was held prisoner. He's down in the bottom of that ship. The storm is raging for days and days and days. And I said to myself, and, you know, he's telling me this. I go, yeah. And then the thought came to me. He said, why do you think he didn't stand up and tell the storm to be still? Like his master did. Don't you think that Paul didn't hear about that? Ooh, Jesus stood up in the boat and said, why did Paul do that? Why did Paul stand up? Wait a minute here. Hold it. Because God had a plan. And Paul was willing to go God's way, not his own. And sometimes that rocky and rough seas. But Paul knew something. Yes, he got a message from the angel, but that didn't happen until days later. It didn't happen right away. But he said something. He said, when he talked to the people on that ship, he said, I believe it's going to be done just as the angel or the messenger of God spoke to me. That's faith. Everything in that time, everything in that circumstance of Paul was telling him, get off the boat. Get out of there. It's going down. Everything in his thing. He just figured it's done. He knew that God was sending him to Rome, but still the battle was for him to stay focused on God. It didn't just happen overnight. And I think the point was he was coming to a place of where he started to think to himself, what am I going to do? When God sent a message, stay in the boat. When you come to the end of your faith, God will send a message. But you got to start in that faith. Now in the natural, Paul warned them, don't go in there. This is the wrong time of season. These are the stormy seasons. We shouldn't be going there now. In the natural, Paul did everything he knew to do, but there was something that God had planned for his life. He had a plan. Paul, doing exactly as God told him to do, and by the grace of God, the people in the ship all stayed and said, yes, we'll stay in this ship, and that's what he told them to do. He said, afterwards, it said, when they landed on the island, they found out what island they were landing on. What one was it? Malta. The message of the gospel hadn't reached there yet. Oh, glory. There was a plan. God's plan, Paul's plan. Paul's plan was not to do that. Paul's plan was to persecute the church and do everything he could to stop this message. But God's plan was Paul to take the message. Glory to God. Paul lived by faith. He did not live by his emotions, his feelings, what he was seeing, what he wasn't. I can't make people live by faith. I can't make you. All I can do is fight the good fight of faith right here, because there's a battle every day in my life to see things as God sees it, not the way I see it. I watch this world and I watch America falling apart, but God sees something I don't see. So all I have to do is say, Lord, you show me. I need to see it the way you see it. And God sometimes says, David, I'm going to make you and teach you how to live by faith. And I'm not going to always tell you exactly what I'm about to do, but I'll reveal it to you. If you stay strong and you walk by faith, I'll show you. Do you understand God's trying to reveal things to us? And sometimes we have to see it in the spirit, in faith, before we actually see it in the natural. And that's a battle. And I believe. Oh, yeah, I believe. And it's already done. It's done. It's not going to come. It's already there. How come I'm not in it yet? Because God's trying to teach you something. What did he say? Through faith and patience, you what? Inherit the promises. Amen? What's God trying to teach you? Patience. 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 Ah, that's hard. Well, I've got patience. True. But not what God's patience is. Don't you think that God is... Let me put it this way. God is never withholding any good thing from you to teach you something. It's already been there. There's a battle that goes on in the spiritual realm for the promises of God to come to pass. There is. Whether you believe it or not. There's a battle going on constantly. We don't see it all the time. But there's a battle going on. And God's saying, and just like it was with Daniel, 21 days of prayer, 21 days of fasting and prayer took Daniel before he saw the promise come to into the natural realm from the spirit realm. But he said, the day that you ask for it, it was already sent. The moment you ask God by faith, according to his will, in the word of God, it's already done. It's not got to be. Not manifest out. We were talking. It's done. Amen? So what is my responsibility? Keep on praying. Keep on seeking. Keep on asking. Keep on seeking. Look in, hallelujah, where do I want to take you to? If I can find it. James. Hallelujah. No, excuse me. Yes, James, I apologize. In Hebrews 6, it was the scripture where I said you inherit. He said in Hebrews 6, verse 11 and 12, he said, and we desire that each one of you show the same diligence. You hate that word, don't you? Amen? Diligence. That means the same thing he said. It's impossible to please God because you must believe that he is, and he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Diligent means constant. Constant. Not once in a while, not when I feel like. Not when things are going bad. Don't ever try to build and walk in faith when things are going bad. That's the worst time. Learn to walk by faith when things are going not so bad. What will that take? Diligence, effort to do it. Because when the wind blows, Jesus didn't wake up and say, oh man, I got to get some faith to tell this thing to be still. When the wind was blowing for Paul, Paul didn't say, oh, I just got to get enough faith, so I'll stay here and trust God to get me out of this. Paul knew that, well, I don't give backwards here. Let me go forward. In James, he said, but imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. In James 1, it said this. Excuse me. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. Hallelujah. How many of us, when we go into a trial and things are going against us and things aren't going to, we count it all joy? How many of us try to get out of those things as quick as we got into them? Or quicker. Amen? But God is doing something. The first thing you do is go to God and say, God, is this you? Are you allowing this to happen in my life? Because nothing happens outside of God's plan. Now, he does use things to correct our lives, to bring us back into alignment with his plan. And again, remember this. You have a choice whose plan you will follow. Yours or his. You have that choice, and God will not force his will on you. But he opens up the plan to you. And he said, I've got a plan for you. I got purpose for you. Here's my plan. Yeah, but I don't see myself. As you read in here, this thing becomes a mirror. And you start seeing yourself in it. But don't be foolish and walk away and forget what you saw. When you see yourself and you acknowledge to yourself, okay, I'm weak in those areas. I'm weak in faith. I'm weak in that. I truly believe with all my heart, if you ask, you can receive it from him. God has a plan for your life. When you acknowledge weakness, Paul, I glory in my weakness that his strength may be manifested. Paul admitted, I'm weak in areas of my life. Matter of fact, it's a good thing for me to know that. Because in those weak areas, I learned to depend on God's strength. And my weak areas, and I confess, Father, I have weaknesses. God knows my weaknesses. And God isn't saying to me, David, here's your weakness. He's saying, David, you tell me where your weakness is, and I'll give you my strength to resist in those areas and to stand strong. But the faith comes when we ask him. When we think we're good enough and we can do it on our own without his help, without his strength, without his wisdom, that's the day we start to fall back into self. And he said in the last days, be lovers of self more than lovers of God. And they take the word of God when it comes at them, and they just switch it around to make it feel like this thing is not what God said. Yes, it is. Listen, if your life isn't going according to God's plan, which Jeremiah 29:11, what did he say? I want you to prosper. Come on. Let me go back there. Excuse me. I'm going to read that again. I don't even know if I got past the plans, did I? For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper. And 3 John, he says, I pray that you prosper in all things. In all things. God wants you to prosper in every area of your life. Prosperity is not a dirty word. It's used by Satan's emissaries to make you feel guilty about being in good health and good peace of mind and good financial. There's nothing wrong with those things. Nothing. God wants you to prosper. His plan for you is to live a prosperous life. It is. But don't let prosperity be your goal. Follow his plan and the prosperity come to you. There's a difference. We can run and chase after the dollar or the prosperity and the health and all this stuff. We can do all that stuff. We can chase after those things because it's our plan to be that way. Or that stuff just overtakes us because we're following God's plan for our life. One, you do it by the sweat of your brow. The other, you do it by the grace and the mercy of God. Amen? When you do it by the sweat of your brow, the enemy has every opportunity to come and take it from you. When you get it by grace from God, he can't touch it. It ain't. Because he said, lay up your treasures in heaven. Your treasures is where your heart is, and where your heart is after God's plan for your life. Hallelujah. And if God's part of his plan for you to be prosperous so you can sow into the kingdom of God and fulfill his purpose here on earth, he will prosper you exceedingly abundantly above all you could ever ask or hope for. His plan for you is to be a giver, not a taker. His plan for you is to prosper spirit, soul, and body, every part of your life. Prosper. Now, if we're not, then it's not God's problem. God isn't at fault. God never made a plan for someone's life to die of sickness and disease. Never, never. No place in the scripture I've ever found that. Will there be people who give up their life and will be sacrificed for the gospel's sake? Yes, yes, yes. But not through the enemy's works of sickness and disease and the fallen nature of man. No, no, no. Then how come so many? Because they don't know. Because they're walking in their own plan in their own mind. They make decisions based on what they feel, what they think. They never consult God and say, God, what should I do? Where should I go? Who should I see? What's going on, Lord? If there's something going on in your life, get alone with him. Look what he says here. Let me finish reading that, will you? He said, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you, not to harm you. God's plan for your life is that no harm would come to you. Now, you will suffer for the gospel's sake. If you ever get to a place where you know all I want to do is share the good news with somebody, expect opposition. Big time. If you're going to live by the plan of your own life, what you have set up, whatsoever a man sows, so shall he reap. He sows to the flesh, he'll reap death and destruction. So the more you operate and walk in the plans of your own life, what you've already set up, this is what I'm going to do, this, I'm going there, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. Throughout the scriptures, God warns them. Don't make those plans. You don't know what tomorrow will bring. He said, ask my plan, and I'll lead you and guide you. I'll bring you down the path that'll bring you to prosperity, peace, safety. I'll do that. Look what he goes on to say. I don't want to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Glory to God. I'm always amazed that so many people are out there, even Christians. Well, we just want you to prosper in the finances so your future is good. You don't even know what tomorrow's going to bring. They could be out of debt completely and die the next day. You don't know. What profit a man if he gained the whole world but loses his soul? Prosperity, financial prosperity, part of God's plan, no doubt whatsoever. But if that's your plan, then you're going to follow your plan, not God's. God's plan is he'll do exceedingly abundantly above all you could ever think or hope for. God has a future plan for you, and it's a good future. Not only eternal future, but even here. This coming year that's coming up, God wants you to be better than when you went into it from the last year. God wants you to be ahead and not the tail. He is not asking you to catch up. He's trying to lead you so that everything behind you is left behind you that's no good and bring you into a brighter future. That isn't just talk. That's his word. Either he's telling the truth or he's a liar. One or the other. You have to make up your mind. But when you're going to make these decisions for the new year, I'm not asking you to make a vow. I am not asking you to make a commitment. I'm not asking any of this. I want you to question yourself. I want you to question God. You know his voice, the voice of a stranger you'll not follow. You know the shepherd's voice. Ask him. You ask. I just pray that you'll do this one thing. Ask him, what is your plan for my life this year? What is it you're asking of me? What are you seeking to bring me into and out of? Ask him. He's not going to reject you. He's not going to ignore you. Well, I asked and I didn't get an answer. You will. If you ask in faith, believing that he's going to answer you, you will get your answer. He will never turn an ear away or never turn his face away from you. He will give you the answer if you ask by faith. Don't ask him to do what you want. Say, Lord, what's my life like this year? What do you plan for my life this year? What do I need to do to get your plan established and finished in my life this year? I'm not asking for the next 20 years. I'm not asking for 30 years down the road. Just 1 year. Tell me what to do. He will. He'll show you. Hallelujah. Listen to what he says. Then you'll call on me and come and pray to me. Hallelujah. In other words, you're going to have a conversation with him. And I will listen to you. Praise God. God's going to listen to you. He's not just with you. He's listening to you. He's listening to your prayer. He's listening to that question. And it's not a bad question. God showed Paul. God showed Jesus. He showed him. He showed Peter. Remember, he said, I got this belt. God will show you. Lord, all I want to know is this year, what is your plan for me this year? What do I need to do to get into your plan and out of mine? You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. This cannot be just a partial time, a part-time walk of faith. It isn't today I'm going to walk by faith and tomorrow I'm going to do what I want to do. Every day it's a walk of faith. Every day it's a battle, the good fight of faith, every single day. Well, what if his plan doesn't line up with my plan? You choose this day whom you will serve. You choose this day between blessing and cursing, life and death. You choose. But no, your life will reflect the choice you've made. Know this. So you can't blame God. You say, where's God in all of this? God's plan was for never to go down that road, not to go that way. He warned us in the scripture, Psalm 1. Look what he says in Psalm 1. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. Oh, my. We depend too much on people who are not walking by faith, are not living in the counsel of Almighty God, the Word of God. They haven't spent time in prayer and seeking the will of God for you to go and ask them, what should I do with my life? He said, know those who labor amongst you, those who have spent time with God, those who have asked and seeking the Lord with all their heart. Then all of a sudden the Spirit of God starts bringing the word of wisdom out, word of knowledge, a word of wisdom, the gift of prophecy. All these things start operating because they have spent time with the Lord. These are not small things. These are not something that just comes in a whim. This is a total commitment that I want your life you have planned for me, not my life I have planned for me. And yes, sometimes it takes us and breaks our heart because it separates us from our families and loved ones and friends. Things that we would love to do, we can't do now because it's not part of God's plan for your life. It's difficult. It's not something we take lightly. That's why he said and he warned us, count the cost before you begin this thing. Don't start the journey and turn back and walk your other way again. That's what happened with Peter. He started to walk by faith, and then all of a sudden, circumstance around him changed, and he started to sink. That's what happens to a lot of Christians. They begin the journey of faith, and then all of a sudden circumstances come up and they get distorted vision of what's going on. Peter forgot. Jesus said, come. And if he remembered what God had said and what Jesus had said, then he would never have sank, no matter what would have come. There's things when you start a walk of faith and you start living by faith, there's going to be circumstances come your way to try to get you to forget what God said. God says he's got a plan for you. When things start going and they're not going the way you think they should, and you try to change the way things are going on your own, then all of a sudden, we wonder, how come these things aren't working out? Because you're trying to do it your own way again. You started walking this walk of faith, trusting in God's plan for your life. You've already consulted with him. You asked him for wisdom. You started walking by faith. You saw the word of God, what it said. You saw what the Spirit of God was doing in you. And all of a sudden, peace came when you thought all things were going wrong. And bam. Something happens. The storm came. People talking. You got around people who were living an ungodly life, and they were saying all this, and they were making scornful remarks about God and Jesus. And all of a sudden, you just started falling back into their way of thinking. And all of a sudden, we're right back to square one again. We got to start all over again. It doesn't mean that God isn't forgiving. It doesn't mean that God won't. But it gets tiresome going around the same thing year after year after year and not seeing change. It gets tired. I did a message a long time ago when we first came in and started the ministry 20-some years ago. And it was called Going to Kadesh, going around Kadesh. The nation of Israel kept going around the same area for 40 years. 40 years. Over and over and over, and that's the church. Keep going over and over and over. Same thing. They never learned to put their faith in God. So they had to die off in unbelief. Never entering into the promise. God had a plan for their life. He already told them that it was already there. Go ahead, it's yours. But because of circumstance, I'm telling you, we're coming into a time. And it amazes me because God's ways are not my ways. And what I thought and looked at and I said, holy cow, this nation's in big trouble. Well, I think it's still in big trouble. But I think the church has an opportunity. We can be the Petra of Revelation, where people can come to our light that's in us. When you start living by faith, people are going to start coming to you. They're going to wonder about you. When one of them are sick and God says, go lay hands on them, you're not even going to question who they are or what's going on. Tells you to do. Don't think that this isn't true. God wants your life to be a light to those in darkness. God wants your life to shine, your life to shine so brightly that people are drawn to it. Just like the three wise men were drawn to the star, from the star. And he wasn't drawn there when he was a little baby in the cradle. And about 2 years later, they ended up getting there. Amen? But that's, get off the subject. So we're going to learn, whoever will. And that's what God always says, whoever will. If you can believe. Remember we talked about it, he's an if-then God. There's a lot of ifs in the Bible. He gives us a clear picture. Not everybody's going to learn. Not everybody's going to walk by faith. Not everybody's going to be ready for his appearing. Not everybody. And that's fine. They're still saved. Doesn't mean they're not saved. What it means is that we ourselves, those who will walk and live by faith, are going to see the goodness of God here in the land of the living. You are going to see the blessings of Abraham being poured out like never before. Not because you did something, because faith opened the windows of heaven and poured out blessings that you'll not be able to contain. You're going to live by faith. We're going to walk by faith. We're going to talk faith. When you hear us, we're going to say things that seem so impossible. We're going to start speaking about things that aren't as though they are. And I'm not going to be moved by what other people say or don't say or do or don't do. I have compassion for them. I feel bad for them. But I'm not going to live their life for them. If they want to live in misery of this worldly system, God bless them. Pray for them. Love them. But I'm not going to be drawn down to that. Jesus refused to become like the rest of them. He lived by faith. And when everybody else was against him, everybody else called him a liar and a thief and a murderer and all these other things they wanted to say about him, he just shrugged it off. He said, I know who my Father is. I know who I am. I know where I came from and I know where I'm going. That's us. We are here in this world where we're not of this world. We are part and parcel of the kingdom of God. And God the Father wants to reveal himself through our lives using his plan, not ours. If you're going to live by faith, you're going to put your faith and trust in God's plan for your life. And it's not easy. It's not easy. Hallelujah. We're getting there. Look at one more scripture, then we're going to close. Hallelujah, I think. Oh, yeah. Okay. Look at Psalms. Excuse me. Hallelujah. Come on. I know you're still in here. Someplace. They hide these things every once in a while. Psalms 46. Verse 1. God is our refuge and our strength. A very present help in trouble or in time of need. Therefore, we will not fear. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. We're not going to be afraid. You're going to start this walk of faith and things are going to come against you. You're not going to be afraid. Amen. Don't think the enemy is going to sit there and watch you. Don't think he isn't going to do something to try to stop you. Even though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though its waters roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with its swelling, there is a river whose stream shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her just as the break of dawn. The nations raged. The kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice. The earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Glory to God. Even though all these things are going on around you, don't fear. Recognize fear for what it is. Now, maybe in this message, I'm going to talk about faith and fear operating together. There is a fear that God instructs us that we need to have, the fear of God. And when faith and the fear of God work together, it brings about obedience. Amen? And when you obey, that's when you start seeing the blessings and the precious blessings of God being released. And I really believe with all my heart, they start to overtake you. You don't start seeking them out. You turn one day and all of a sudden there's that thing that your heart's desired. Wow! That's my heart's desire, and God gave it to me without even asking. Why? Because his obedient servant. When you obey him, you prove that you love him. There's no other way to show you. Oh, no. That's another whole story. I don't want to go there today. Amen? But know this. As we heard that, and we say it all the time, God with us. God with us. Yeah, he's with us. And he's in us. It doesn't mean we're following his plan. That takes faith. Faith requires work along with it. Otherwise, it's dead faith, according to the Word of God. Let's bow our head. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you, Lord God, for this day. We thank you, Father, for your word. I believe, Lord, there is a plan you have for our lives. And I believe there's times in my own life when I have ignored that plan and followed my own path. I haven't thought and sought out the wisdom of God in concerning circumstances of life. I've thought and sought out my own wisdom. I've listened to the wisdom of ungodly people. Believe it or not, doctors involved in that. Bankers are involved in that. Stockbrokers, people who are not walking with the Lord. And I thank you, Father God, that when circumstances require and when they don't require, I want to seek your will every day of my life. I want your plan, Father. I want your plan. I want your plan, not mine, for my life. We thank you, Father. By faith we receive and walk in it. By faith, Father, we trust you to keep us, to guide us, to lead us. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Why don't we prepare and we'll take up our offering, our tithes and offerings, and trust God. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. You know, a lot of people wonder why God would need our money. Why does God need my money? He's got all the money in the world. He's got all the gold and silver, bronze and iron and all the